in Likud Torah this week, Parashas Emor, in the Alter Rebbe's discourse on the pasuk Svartim Lachem, the Alter Rebbe explains the request we ask from Hashem every day before Krishna. V'loy nevosh, v'loy nekolim, v'loy nekoshel oilam vad. We should not be brought to a condition of shame, of embarrassment, humiliation, and we should not stumble for eternity. Zagdal Tereba Azay, he explains this concept in his own words. Imagine I invest $1 million or so in a stock that seems very promising. And there are many stocks today that seem that way. I invest $1 million in it. Not just $1 million, I invest years of my life and energy and strength and sleepless nights into it because it seems very promising and it will bring me a very powerful fortune and so forth. Then one day I find out that it was all a fake, fraud, a phony. It never existed. What do you feel? Beyond everything, you feel really frustrated, embarrassed, inferior, and so forth. Zagdal Tereba Azay. I come into this world for years, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, I invest all of my years, all of my strengths, all of my characteristics, all of my talents, to what? To develop my ego, a stack that doesn't even exist. There's no I outside of the divine eye. So after 120 years, when you discover this truth, it's a busha. It's embarrassing for the person. So we ask Hashem, please, every day in the morning, give me the vision, give me the courage to know the truth that I am nothing but a conduit, an expression, an expressor of godly energy. There was once a chassid, a real, true, genuine chassid, who met a buddy of his. And he sees that his buddy, his friend, is very worried, disturbed, depressed. He says, my dear friend, how is everything? Is your life fine? He says, yeah. Are you making a living? He says, yeah, thank God. How is your family? Your wife all right? Your children? He says, yeah, everyone is fine. He says, so why are you so depressed? He says, I'll tell you the truth. To be very honest and open with you, because for years and years I'm trying to become something in this world, and it's not happening. I always dreamt either to become a professor, to write a book, to become very popular, to gain fame, authority, power, respect, honor, and so forth. And it's not happened. I feel like nothing. So I'm depressed. And the chassid says, ah, how jealous I am from you. And my whole life I'm trying to become nothing. And I still didn't succeed. I still feel that there's an I, there's an ego invested there. I want to point out something very interesting. When the Alter Rebbe discusses the process of the divine energy concealing itself, to allow for our egos to emerge, he uses three terms. You see, the energy invests itself in garments and veils. Sha'ayr mistater u'misalem u'mislabish behem. The light hides, conceals, and clothes itself within them. What do you think is the significance behind those three terms? It's not just redundant. You know, in Tanya, there's no redundancies. I told you many times. The energy hides, conceals, becomes concealed, and then becomes enclosed. Very briefly, I just want to demonstrate a glimmer of the depth of the golden choice of words of the Alter Rebbe. There's a process of evolution here. Mestater. The first stage in the game is the energy hides itself. You know that there's divine energy here. It's like someone who goes, you know, when you play hide and go seek. There's someone who's hiding. You know that he's hiding somewhere. You just don't know where he is. So you have to search. It's not a comfortable situation, but you know he's hiding. He's hiding and you're aware of it. The second stage is misalim. He's in a state of concealment. Nelam, he disappeared. You already don't know that there's anyone hiding. There's a stage in concealment of the world where you don't see Hashem, but you know that he's hiding and he's around and he's the essence. Then there's a stage, he's gone. You don't even know that there's someone present. You don't know. What can be worse? Mislabish. That's even worse. Mislabish means he encloses himself in the opaqueness. He becomes part of the conspiracy of the veil. He becomes part of the concealment dynamic. He's not just gone, and I don't have a relationship with him and no contact with him. He becomes expressed and distorted in the form of something else. In life, we all experience these three stages in our own emotional and psychological and spiritual growth. Stage A, or the beautiful stages where there's no concealment, but forget about that. Forget about that. At least I could talk for myself. So let's begin with the Hester element. Stage A is you know that Hashem is around. You know that your soul is around. But you can't find it. So that's the stage of search. You search. Stage B, there's fear. There's loss. There's pain. There's a void. There's even a despair. But you know, the very fact that you're despairing over the loss of the innocence in your life is a blessing. Yes, it's gone. You don't even know that it exists. But you feel loss and you feel the fear and the reverence and you're scared. The third stage, there's already no void, there's no loss. On the contrary, you are experiencing a normal world. It doesn't allow you to perceive something beyond the Levush, because what happened here was that the godliness has allowed itself to become distorted and manipulated by the external husky forces. So in the first stage, there's a search. In the second stage, there's the spear. And in the third stage, you see a new mansion, a new edifice. And that's the darkest stage, because the mansion and edifice is a lie. And it's only removing from you the sense of the spear and taking away from you the feeling that you have to search. Zagdal, Tereba, all these three stages exist in our world. And not just concerning the body of existence, but also concerning the soul and the spirits of animals and human beings. Just like my leg has a helem and a hester and a levush, my spirit also experiences a helem and a hester and a levush. Verstehst? The Baal Shem Tov writes on the pasuk in Parshas Beshalach in the Shira, Omar oyev erdoif asig achalik shalol. Translation of it. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people are quoting Pharaoh's conspiracy to annihilate the nation. Omar Oyev, the enemy said, Pharaoh, Erdoif, I will pursue them. Omar Oyev, Asig, I will reach them. Achalik Shal, I will kill them and I will disperse their possessions, the robbery, the spoil. How many Alephs? Omar Oyev, Erdoif, Asig, Achalik Shal, 6 Alephs. Aleph is symbolic of Alufoy Shaloylam, the master of the universe. Hashem Echad, the Aleph is Hashem. Omar Oyif Erdif Asig Achalik Shalol. Who's allowing the enemy to say this? Alufa Shalaylam. When Para is saying, Erdif Asing Achalik Shalal, does he have any reality outside of the divine energy? There's nothing outside of the divine eye. But here you have the third stage. He's not just Mistatir or Misala, Mislabish. The very divine energy that's allowing Para to live, to think, to breathe, to be ambitious and to articulate himself at this moment is so condensed, is so concealed, is so obscured, is so opaque that it allows Pare to fight the very element that is allowing him to fight that very element that's giving him the strength. So divinity allows itself not just to be totally concealed, but to be distorted. Let's conclude the theme. So from the, when we're dealing with Hester versus Gilui, everything in this world is impacted by the Hester. There's nothing in this world outside of the realm of Hester. You agree? From a slice of pizza to a golden watch to an ocean, to my psychological and your psychological makeup, and to our physical bodies. Everything is dominated by this Hester, receiving its energy from Klipas Noega. You asked before about the divine soul in the beginning. The divine soul is unique. We're not talking about that. The divine soul is a part existing in you that's communicated without Klipas Noega. That's its awesomeness. That's why the divine soul changes everything. But here we're talking about the ordinary creatures that create this world and the content of this world. Afalpikein, nonetheless, despite all of this, that what? That in terms of Hester and Gili, Guf and Nefesh are identical. The illumination, meaning, the flow of vitality by which Hashem illuminates and gives life to all creatures of the world by way of this veil, is not the same for them all in terms of contraction and expansion. Here lay the difference. In terms of the energy being restricted in a restrictive mode or in an expansive mode, here there are drastic differences between various elements of the world. And Alter Rebbe explains, Kibaguf agashmi va'adema mamash kavonim va'afar, because in the physical body of a living creature, and in an absolutely inanimate being such as stones or earth, the ray of the divine creative power is in a state of unparalleled contraction. So minute is the life force within these inanimate beings that they lack even the power of growth. In vegetation, the ray is not so greatly contracted. The derech klal, generally speaking, nechlokis la'arba madregas. All things in the world are divided into four categories. Mineral, vegetable, animal, and man, the speaker. Corresponding to the four letters of the divine name, the tetragrammaton, from which they are derived. The distinction of Doimim Tzemei Chai Medaber begins in the four letters Yutke Vofke. The final He, so to speak, represents Hashem's inanimate element, if you can say so. And that's the energy that creates Doimim, everything inanimate in the world. Then Hashem has His vegetative element. His vegetative element, that's reflected in the Vav. Then Hashem has His instinctive element, symbolic in the Hay. which gives rise to all the chai in the world, and then you have the yud, the intellectual, rational, or intelligent element that gives rise to the medaber, to the speaker. These four elements comprise all existence in this world, and they vary drastically in terms of tzimtzum and ispashtus. No. Hashem is one and indivisible, and here we're dividing it into four categories and discussing, identifying it as a source for four distinct type of existing beings in this world. And the answer is Hashem in his essence is indivisible. But everybody knows that in order to create, sustain, and relate to a fragmented, divisive, individualistic universe and universes, Hashem contracted, so to speak, and defined himself within four modes of expression, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, which give rise to four distinct creatures. We'll soon see in the footnote, the Alter Rebbe will discuss this in reference to the Sphirois, which is similar to this. The Sphirois are personality modes, attraction, rejection, internalization, competitiveness, and so forth. Even Yudke, you're asking, Yudke Vavke is known as Shem Ha'etzem, the essential name, versus other names, and the answer is true. Relative to names, it's the essential name, but the very fact that you call it a name means that it's not the essence. You know why? Because if I would live in isolation, I wouldn't need my name. Most people, you communicate to yourself pretty often, right? Huh? I don't mean dafka if you talk to yourself. Mela, I mean, you're thinking to yourself. Most people, you don't say, David, you know, I think this more, and now I'm going to get out of bed. When you talk to yourself, you don't have to identify yourself by name. Why? A name is needed for an outsider who's not intimately connected with me. That's what you need a name for. So the very fact that you define it as a name means that it's already a more of an external element. More of an external element.
Well, when you come to a moment that you realize yourself what you're doing, say, David, this is me doing that? So you're talking to yourself.
Very good example you gave. Very good example. When you realize that you did something negative, you say, David, this is me who did it. Who's saying it? An outsider, Taka. Your Nefesh HaLakis is talking to your Nefesh HaBahamas. If it wouldn't be an outsider, you wouldn't have to say it. You wouldn't do it l'chatchil. Okay, whatever. So what is the Alter Rebbe saying? You see how he's developing the theme. No, but let's wait for a moment. Things will become clear. He didn't finish driving home his point yet. What was the point till now? Avada. The question is a very legitimate question, but here is not the place where he exhausts this issue. He does discuss it elaboratively in chapter 48, as well as in the second section of Tanya, as well as in many Hasidic discourses by the Alter Rebbe and the other Rebbes. And it's a very, it's a profound, heavy topic in Chassidus. But here the Alter Rebbe doesn't go into this. It's a legitimate issue. So there are two elements. When you're talking about opaqueness versus revelation, There is no difference between medaber and daimim and semeach and chai. Just as you can walk the face of this earth for 80 years and it will not even once dawn on you that a speck of dust is not outside of the realm of godliness and spirituality, nor your arm or your leg. The same is true that you can walk 80 years on planet Earth and it shouldn't dawn on you once that your impulses and your feelings and your inner consciousness and your mind and your psyche are essentially not outside of the realm of spirituality and godliness. Because in all of the four categories, Daimim, Tzemeya, Chayim, Medaber, the divine energy is communicated through concealment. And thus it creates something that can feel itself and experience itself as selfish. This is true in Klipas Noiga, the bodies and spirits of Klipas Noiga, in Shalosh Klipas Atneis, the bodies and souls of Shalosh Klipas Atneis. That's in Hester and Gilui. But still, can you compare a soul to a body? Can you compare a daimim to a medaber? Are you going to say that the same energy that exists in a stone exists in a tree? No. You can put it conversely if you wish. Tzaddikim are not affected by klipas noiga. They're not affected. They perceive the world as godliness, and that's why sin doesn't turn them on. It's not appealing to them. And the ego doesn't turn them on, and so forth. That which turns us on doesn't turn them on, because there's no concealment. But does that mean that in their eyes, a tree, a rock, a dog, and a human being are identical? No. I ainoid mulvadi, there's nothing outside of the divine energy. And there's no klippa to conceal it, so there's nothing outside of the divine energy. There's no hester, there's only gilui. True, but there's still a difference in symptom and espashtos. The divine energy communicated in a rock is not the divine energy communicated in a dog. This is the metaphor. Once we understand well the metaphor, now the Alter Rebbe concludes that the same is true also in the Nimshal, but in the opposite direction. The deed of the mitzvah, the physical deed, is the body of the mitzvah. The kavana of the mitzvah, the meditation of the mitzvah, is the soul of the mitzvah. As far as Hester is concerned, they're identical. In the other extreme, in both of them, there's no Hester whatsoever. Just as in the metaphor we said, body and soul are identical in the fact that they're both dominated by a hester. In the nimshal, in the mitzvah element, the mitzvah and its kavan are identical in the hester piece, that there's no concealment of godliness whatsoever. The difference is in the tzimtzum and in the ispashtus. And let's just conclude with these few lines. K'moy she'ein erich v'dimyena arev amshachas achayis shebedeimim v'tzimeach. La'arev amshachas achayis amalubashes b'chayim medaber. Just as the illumination and the flow of energy found in the mineral and vegetable categories bears no comparison or likeness to the illumination and flow of vitality manifested in animals and man, because in the former two categories the body is the dominating factor. And in the latter two categories, the spirit is the dominating factor. And you can't compare it. Af, he keeps on emphasizing. Af, shebekulam erechot shavu b'chinas hester ponim. Although in all four categories, the divine animating light is the same in terms of hester, of concealment of the countenance. Umalubish belavush echot bekulam shu levush noiga. And in all four categories, the divine energy is manifested in the same veil, in the same garment, namely the veil of klipas noiga. The same veil communicates the energy invigorating my consciousness and the energy invigorating my body. But nonetheless, there is still no comparison between the illumination and daimim and semech and chayim edaber. Kach, similarly, ein erich v'dimyon klal. Bein ha'or, az v'am shachas, ein sof baruch. There is no comparison or likeness between the manifestation and illumination of the blessed Ein Sof energy, meaning the intimate aspect of His will without any concealment and with no garment whatsoever. As it radiates and is clothed within the mitzvahs consisting of physical action. Or mitzvahs performed through speech and verbal articulation, which is regarded as actual action, as mentioned above in chapter 37, when performed without kavana. So this illumination has no comparison legabeya arevam shachas erin sof baruchu hameiro melubeshes bekavonas hamitzvus ma'isius, with the superior illumination and flow of the blessed Ein Sof energy radiating and manifested in the kavana of the mitzvahs of action, in the kavana of it. What is the kavana? Sha'adam iskavin ba'asiyasan kadei ledavka ba'yizbarach, meaning man's intention when he performs them, to attach himself to Hashem, by fulfilling His will. Since he and his will are intimately one, that's his kavan. I want to connect with Hashem through the mitzvah, which is his intimate will. Similarly, with regard to kavan and davening, during the recital of Shema and its blessings, and the kavan and other blessings, where through one's kavana in them, in the words and in the meaning of the words and in the deeper meaning of the words, he attaches his thought and intellect to Hashem.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.